Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
What's been my favorite restaurant for a year? Home. Why?
Home.
Because of OmahaSteaks.com. Come on, right? You get everything delivered safely to your door during COVID. Why? Risk it. You get the quality. You get the price is unbelievable for the amount of food you get. And they've been doing it.
Yep.
They were way ahead of the COVID curve. Is that right? They were the coolest, coolest kids in school, right? Delivered in that freezer safely to your door. When I want quality protein, I go right to OmahaSteaks.com. Right now, if you put the code VOICES in the search bar, you save over 50%. How about the Butcher's Best Sellers package? You get four of those iconic filet mignons from Omaha Steaks, four ultra-juicy burgers, four savory pork chops, four kielbasa sausages, four rich and decadent caramel apple tartlets, and then they just chuck in, like, but they turn around and then before they go, it's like a movie thing, they just chuck in four extra premium chicken breasts and four more burgers. They're like, take that.
And then they say, who loves your kid?
Who loves your kid? Take that for your trouble. I don't know if they say that, but the point is, if you go to OmahaSteaks.com and type in voices, what a bargoon you get. Over 50% off. Secure this exclusive pricing right now. OmahaSteaks.com. Type voices in that search bar. Okay, happy hour. Let's go. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Okay, calm down, calm down, calm down. Okay, calm down, everybody. It's Stephanie Miller's happy hour. First of all, girls won the world. Oh, my God. I feel like a game show host. Look who's here. All of them. Ready, everybody? First is Jill Weinbanks, the only woman on the Watergate trial team and famously dubbed by Nixon as that bitch in a miniskirt. She was also general counsel of the Army. Joyce White Vance is a professor at the University of Alabama and a U.S. Attorney's Office in Alabama, the first woman Barack Obama nominated for U.S. Attorney in Birmingham. She's a lifelong knitter and has 10 chickens, everybody. Okay, Barb McQuaid, professor at the University of Michigan, also first woman nominated by Barack Obama for U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan. She's a sports fan. Her dream job is to be shortstop of the Detroit Tigers, everybody. Kimberly Atkins is the senior opinion writer at the Boston Globe and a recovering lawyer. She is also a fashion designer and sporting one of her fantastic outfits today. Hi, ladies. Come on down. Hi,
hello.
Sisters. Hi, sisters-in-law. Hi, sisters-in-law.
Hello.
Oh, my God. And Jill Weinbanks wearing her official Chicago Steph Head shirt. Does it get better than this? No. Kimberly, I've never met you. I've been using all of these women all these years just to get to you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This is very exciting.
And you guys, congratulations. It's like the number one political podcast. It is fantastic. We've all known and adored you on MSNBC. Tell us how this all started. You were just hanging out in the green room, as girls do. And then tell us how this happened. Anybody, Jill, go ahead.
It was mostly our fans said, you need to have a show. And we all just have so much fun talking to each other and sharing ideas that we were hoping that people would join us for a cocktail at this hour or maybe for a cup of coffee if they're listening earlier and just join our conversation and send us their questions so that we can answer them and just talk about the major issues of the day in a way that will get people really interested in participating in politics.
Well, I fell in love with all of you, and I mean that, as you know, in a gay and a non-gay way, by seeing you on MSNBC. But all of you, I think during this extraordinary time in our history, right, impeachment and all of this, two impeachments, is you make the law understandable to normal people like us that don't have law degrees. I mean, for God's sakes, Joyce Vance, you own chickens. I mean, you're a fancy coastal elite and you own chickens. I mean, it's just, it doesn't get more relatable than that, right?
Well, if by coastal elite you mean the redneck Riviera down in Gulf Shores, Alabama, I guess I'm a coastal elite. But Stephanie, that really is what we want to do. Part of the reason that the country ended up the way it did during the Trump administration was because of a failure of civic education and understanding of the legal system. And it's actually really interesting stuff. I mean, I confess I'm a little bit nerdy, but when the four of us sit down and discuss it, it is really interesting. These are conversations that we would just have sitting in a coffee shop. It is a great thing for us to get to let everybody listen in. And so we really do hope people will send in their questions so it'll expand the conversation to include our listeners.
I've never been so jealous in my life when you tweeted about having everybody on your porch in Alabama, all the ladies present and other amazing legal lads and ladies. And I was like, invited myself. I'm like, can I come? I won't say anything. I'm not a lawyer. I won't say anything. I just want to listen to everybody.
Well, notice she didn't attach. You notice she didn't talk about inviting us in, just the porch is close enough. Yes.
Barb, you know how many Twitter people are like, why don't you have Stephanie Miller to be part of the podcast? I'm like, I'm not a fucking lawyer. Stop saying that. I'm sisters in law. Do you get it? What do they have in common? They have law degrees in common. But and I love how you're already tag teaming each other on Twitter. Joyce, you tweeted about there's no basis for these new restrictions in terms of voting, voting rights. You said it's simply majority via GOP legislatures trying to make it as hard as possible for people they think will vote Democratic to vote. And then Kimberly, you tag teamed her and said this is so true. 2020 exposed the lie, but the GOP has been telling it for years and will keep telling it to disenfranchise voters most likely to vote for Democrats. It appears this is all they're working on, Kimberly, is how to keep black and brown people from voting. They're not working to help people in Texas or people impacted by COVID, right? This is what they're working on.
Yeah, it's really insane, especially after this year. You mentioned the pandemic, and think about how many people voted. Record numbers of people voted because people in cities and towns and states, the officials realized it's a pandemic, and so they tried to make it easier for people to vote in a safe way. And guess what happened? They did. Yeah. It worked. They showed that you can get more people to vote even in a pandemic and have it be safe and secure. And the very folks in places like Georgia, where they said the officials there swore up and down and said how great the system worked, how there was no fraud, and pushed back against Donald Trump, are turning around and saying, but, people's trust is shaken. So we need to implement all of these restrictions, ID restrictions and early registration evictions. It's like, wait a minute, you just said that it worked. Right. So why
people's
are
trust
you
is shaken because you shook it, right? Because you're telling
lies.
The big lie, right?
Exactly, because of lies, and you proved that the lie was a lie. Yeah. So this isn't that, but this has been happening for decades, right?
Yeah.
This is what Republicans have been doing because they've essentially realized that the only way to win is to keep the other side from voting, not they can't win on their ideas.
Yeah, and Jill, you said the same thing. Let's start paying close attention to the number of Republican bills to suppress voting in red states is a serious threat to democracy. I just had Brendan Boyle on this morning. I said after COVID release, this may be the only important bill is HR1 and voting, the John Lewis Act, because we won't get to any of our other priorities, immigration or anything else, right? If we don't have Democratic majorities.
It is true. And I think there is a difference now. It's everybody is right when you're talking about this having been going on for a long time to try to suppress black and brown votes. But now it's gotten to a dimension where it's so out in the open and so blatant. The number of bills that have been passed or are introduced in various states, not mine, Illinois is good, but Indiana, our neighbor, has horrible bills. Iowa, another neighbor, has terrible bills. Arizona is maybe one of the worst. There are so many. The number is maybe near 200 now.
Yeah.
And I think the action that needs to be taken is to stop this at the state level. It's not Yes, absolutely. HR1 is essential. John Lewis,
yeah.
George Floyd, all of those voting protections are necessary and essential. But if we don't stop it at the state level, then states will continue to pass restrictions on registration. They are eliminating early voting. I mean, I can't remember when you weren't able to early vote or vote by mail.
Yeah.
And stop that is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It would be the same as going back to the Iowa caucuses, where unless you can come at a very narrow time frame after dinner, basically, on one evening, you don't get to vote in the primary.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And that's wrong.
It's ridiculous. Barb, let's get to really delicious, just current things, like the fact that they have Donald Trump's taxes right now as we speak. As we speak, they actually have his taxes in New York. Talk to us about that.
Well, we knew Mazars, the accounting firm, had said that they had gathered up all these records and they were willing to comply with the court order. You know, they were a little bit caught betwixt and between from Donald Trump challenging the subpoenas and wanting to comply with a court order. So they said, you know, just say the word court and we'll have them ready to go. So I'm not surprised that upon this final decision by the U.S. Supreme Court that there was no merit to these legal challenges that Donald Trump was filing to prevent the disclosure of the tax returns, that ultimately they would be turned over and in very short order once that order was there. So that's happened. Now Cy Vance has these tax returns and in addition, underlying business records that can be used. And so I imagine that the things that they will be looking for within those documents are inconsistencies. Michael Cohen testified before Congress that President Trump would characterize his income depending on whether it helped him or hurt him. So when he was seeking loans, for example, to buy the Buffalo Bills, he wanted to inflate his income to make it look like he was a good credit risk for banks who would lend him money. When it came time to paying taxes, he would understate the same income. And so looking for those kinds of inconsistencies, they can't both be true when you report $1 figure on one form and $1 figure on another. And so I imagine that they are looking through that. They've hired a forensic accounting firm, and they will get to the bottom of any fraud that was reported within those financial documents. Yeah.
Joyce, I have said this all to you individually and together, that I appreciate you have dedicated your lives to the law, but it is stupid. just in the sense that I don't get, normal people don't get how people can delay and delay and get away with things for years like Donald Trump has, right? I mean, and so of all these suits, Georgia, NAACP, you know, New York, Letitia James and Cy Vance, which is the velociraptor that's going to get him? Because I understand, I'm listening to Barb, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Okay, I'm a layperson. It's obviously insurance fraud and bank fraud and wire fraud and tax fraud. Like how long, okay, which of these, because I think Harry Littman said to us, he thinks Georgia is actually going to be first because we have that on tape and that's the simplest. Which one do you think?
Well, so first, I think it's important to acknowledge that the system can be frustratingly slow, particularly when you have someone like Trump who doesn't behave in good faith and occupies the ultimate position of power in our country as president. Part of that delay is a good thing, Stephanie. We're a rule of law country. We provide people with due process. We protect their rights. You know, we don't string people up with no reason.
I'm sorry, and, Joyce. I just had to throw that in.
I get that. But, you know, I mean, I'm going to just say we are a country that believes that it's better to let 100 guilty people go free than to put one innocent person in prison. And that's an important tenet, even when it's Donald Trump who's involved. I struggle with that. I just need to be honest and say I've found much of this to be frustrating and wanted DOJ to charge ahead more than they were willing to under the Sessions Bar administrations. So that said, what's going to be the most important? I think it's going to be all of it put together. And Barb makes a really good point about searching for inconsistencies. If you're Cy Vance, remember that investigation started with Stormy Daniels and campaign finance fraud. That is a charge that's pretty close to the statute of limitations. In federal cases, you mostly get 5 years from the time the crime occurs to look into it. It can be longer if there's a conspiracy involved. I'm hoping that Cy Vance will find evidence of that in the tax filings that he can now look at, and that he will turn that over to the Southern District of New York. There's a permissibility factor where you can get a court order as a New York State prosecutor to turn information about federal crimes over to federal prosecutors. I see that these election crimes, crimes that involve election fraud, are so important that they can't be ignored, even if they're old, even if they've gotten lost in this whole shake of things. So by the same token, I think what happened in Georgia is equally important, but it's going to be this total package, the press of civil actions that Letitia James looks like she's going to file up in New York. And also, you know, who knows what the evidence will be like in the District of Columbia, but if the former president has culpability for inciting insurrection or any other crimes related to January 6th, then he has to be charged. But it's up to career professional prosecutors to evaluate the evidence. And although it's frustrating, I think we have to be willing to let them do their job.
We have an operation going here, Joyce. It's called Operation Penniless in Prison. And I don't care how it gets there. Kimberly, I don't care. State, local.
Yeah.
Do you think Mitch McConnell will live to rue the day he did not put Merrick Garland on the Supreme Court? I mean, I am really encouraged by what he said about following the facts and the law. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I don't think Mitch McConnell spends that much time ruining anything so long as he keeps himself
in his position.
No. As long as he keeps himself at the top of the Republican Senate caucus and in the position to take that gavel back, which that gavel is a breath away from him right now, I think everything he does is tactical with a purpose throughout the entire impeachment. I was on Twitter warning people not to fall for the old okie doke. I didn't expect him to convict. I didn't expect him to whip up votes to convict. Sure, he can get up in front of a microphone and say all sorts of things to make himself look better historically, but he knew exactly what he was doing. He was trying to keep his fractured caucus together so that the moment that another election comes up and he can reclaim that gavel and he can continue what is most important to him, which is installing Heritage Foundation approved conservative judges throughout the judiciary, he will take it and he's going to do whatever it takes to keep himself there. So I did not see this as any big moral moment for Mitch McConnell. Perhaps I'm wrong, but I've been watching him for a couple decades now and it seems pretty consistent with what he's done the whole time.
Yeah. Hold those thoughts, sisters-in-law. Is something interfering with your happiness? I know the answer for me is yes, me. But that's where BetterHelp comes. Our new sponsor, BetterHelp. They've come to the rescue just in time. BetterHelp seeks to provide professional help with ease. It's not a crisis line. It's a professional counseling done securely online. BetterHelp helps you access your needs and match you with a licensed professional therapist. Start communicating in under 48 hours in a safe, private online environment. Send a message to your counselor. Receive a timely response. You schedule weekly video or phone sessions, whatever works for you. Anything you share is confidential, unless you want to share something now, Sean, because I know you're also...
I have someone I can talk to. Thank you very much.
Oh, all right. I guess you'll keep the rest of that confidential. See how that works? Okay. Something, something, boss, stress, blah, 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 blah. Boss pays me in produce, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Start living a happier life today. You'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor, BetterHelp.com/sexyliberal. Join over a million people who've taken charge of their mental health. Go to BetterHelp, that's H-E-L-P, as you would think, BetterHelp.com/sexyliberal. 10% off, that is BetterHelp.com/sexyliberal. I'm out here in Hollywood, so, listen, you guys have done your part by having the number one podcast. I have another show to pitch to you based on something from Twitter this morning, Jill. Ryan tweeted, this is a quote, if you can't see the election was stolen, you're a moron. Capitol defendant Richard Machete texted his ex, who would soon be known as FBI witness number one. And Adam tweeted, I would totally watch an HBO show about a group of women who accidentally meet online when they realize their dipshit boyfriends and husbands went to the riot and then joined forces to turn their exes and co-conspirators into the FBI. Let's hook this up. They call sisters-in-law, right? Because you guys are so easy to talk to. And you're just, it's like intervention, right? Meets my horrible boyfriend show.
Right? Yeah, I think we'd do it. I think we would. And in fact, some of our best conversations are the ones that we don't have on the air when we're just starting the call and we just talk to each other. We've had great conversations about a whole lot of things. Luckily, I don't think any of us even knows anyone. Well, that's not true. I have actually a family member who voted for Trump.
Me too. Two.
Yeah, yeah, it happens even in the best families. But basically, I don't associate with anybody that feels that way unless it's a workman who comes to my house that I have to talk down from. Yeah, those aren't the facts, sir. If you would listen to MSNBC or Progressive Talk Radio, you would hear a different set of facts. So but we should do that.
Yeah. But part of what I love about you guys is the sisterhood that sort of famously, right? And these, damn it, these people, you're so fabulous. People keep getting elected. Mimi Rocha, I don't know, Maya Wiley's probably going to get elected mayor of New York. Everybody keeps.
Yeah, she just got some good endorsements.
I know. But you guys, because I think, Jill, you tweeted about the Neera Tanden double standard and mean tweets. We need more of like this sisterhood that you guys, because it's just, there is such a misogynistic double standard. And we notice that it's women of color, right, Kimberly? It's like Deb Holland and Neera Tanden. And you're like, really, now mean tweets is some sort of problem, right?
Yeah, a pattern has definitely emerged here to make members of the Senate who ran from the idea of having to be accountable for a tweet when asked for the last 4 years about the things that the former president tweeted, suddenly now are concerned about decorum and concerned about all of these other things. I mean, for Senator Manchin to release an entire statement that didn't mention a single thing about Neera Tanden's qualifications, her history, her background, what she said in her hearings, including apologizing and acknowledging the mistakes that she made in sending some tweets, didn't acknowledge any of that, just sort of dismissed her as a matter of decorum. And then other Republicans like Susan Collins followed suit. The double standard was just, it was so apparent. It just reeked.
Yeah, absolutely. Barb, here's the other, you know, I've talked to all of you individually about how this just must make you insane watching these impeachment trials that are not real trials and these hearings that are not. How about Ron Johnson getting to, what do you guys call that? Being able to introduce onto the record just disinformation about the Capitol riot. You said by spreading, Barb, you tweeted, by spreading disinformation to minimize the Capitol attack, Senator Ron Johnson does a disservice to oh, wow, someone's got a bigger dog than I do. Is that your Dalmatian?
Myself, I'm guilty.
Wow. Is that mine? Okay, Ron Johnson does a disservice to our country. A democracy depends on informed voters. I mean, this is why, who else tweeted? Hang on a second. I have a million. I've done FBI background checks on all of you and also your Twitter feeds. Yeah, Joyce, you retweeted 73% of Trump voters think Biden was not legitimately elected. You said responsibility for this isn't on a single entity, but on the Republican Party that bears a lot of it. I mean, this is really a problem. This is why we have the both sides do it, because Ron Johnson can read from a right-wing blog, and that would never be allowed, Barbara, in a court of law, right?
Yeah, absolutely not. It's really interesting. I think, you know, one of the things the four of us have in common is a background as trial lawyers. And in a court of law, truth matters, facts matter. If you misrepresent the record, you will be sanctioned. You can be disbarred. And so lawyers are taught to stick to the facts. And to see this kind of misrepresentation in Congress, you know, certainly on social media, is a real disservice, this disinformation. Ron Johnson is trying to push this theory that the people who were responsible for the Capitol attack were not Trump supporters, but people falsely posing as Trump supporters.
Right.
Senator Klobuchar corrected that record by saying there is no evidence to support that. In fact, the evidence is to the contrary. More than 200 people have been charged with crimes, and the evidence in those cases is that they were indeed Trump supporters. So. Yeah. I think if the rules aren't going to hold people accountable and demand that they tell the truth or have sanctions for it, I do think it falls upon the rest of us, the bystanders, and the others in the room to stand up and speak out. So I really give props to Senator Klobuchar for calling that out and putting that on the record. Now, you know, Fox News will only show his statements and not hers.
Yeah.
But I think it's one way to fight back is by exposing disinformation for what it is, which is why I tweeted about it. I think we need to call people out when they do that. There is a way to hold people accountable when they make false statements, and that's by, you know, voting with our feet, by putting social pressure and shunning people who engage in that kind of disinformation.
Yeah. Joyce Vance, are you actually knitting while we're doing this? I mean, you're knitting. You're actually like, right, right, pearl one, knit two, right. So you're dropping pearls of wisdom while you're actually knitting. I love how homey this is. Jill Weinbank's giant dog is about to disembowel her. You're just knitting a sweater. Right. Wow. Does that calm you, Joyce, when we talk about insurrection?
My mind works better when my hands are busy.
Idle hands, something, something, devil. Okay. All right. So, by the way, and thank you, Barb, for echoing my, you said court order requiring Trump to produce records was the inevitable outcome. The real story is Trump's ability to stall subpoena compliance and pass the election. We need reforms to prevent baseless delay tactics, which, yes, thank you, Jill Weinbank's dog. The law is stupid. That's my point. People shouldn't be able, if you have money, it's about, if you have money, you're able to delay forever, right?
Yeah, I think that was, go ahead, Kim.
Sorry. No, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But I think one of the things we have to remember is some of these rules that were put in place, rules that would shield a president from having to deal with certain other legal matters while he or she, maybe one day, was put in place for a reason. But it's one of these norms that Donald Trump exploited and, used in nefarious ways. Yes, you do not want the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, to have to deal with every small claims court, you know, that any Yahoo files against him or her. They're busy. They have stuff to do. So there's a reason you have rules that those things can be put off. But Donald Trump exploited all of that. He exploited every norm. And you just saw how every president up until Donald Trump respected the office enough to not push. And even though these rules somehow sometimes weren't enforceable that were in place, these norms, they didn't push it. They had honor. They had integrity in not to do that. And we've just seen how those things can be broken. And I think this is a great example of just having the ability to stall this stuff, having an attorney general who will get involved in personal civil matters as if he's, his own consigliere was just, it was maddening.
E. Jean Carroll's rape case. I mean, why the DOJ was ever in that.
That had nothing to do with Bill Barr, but Bill Barr jumped in it. So it's just really incredible.
Right. And Jill, I mean, just to hear him say, I'm not the president's lawyer. I'm the United States lawyer was just like, oh, wow, I'm going to follow just the facts and the law. I mean, and by the way, you also talked about the Smartmatic case. I forgot to mention that one. You said terrifyingly misled by disinformation. These Trump voters, you said, I hope Smartmatic wins its defamation case. They haven't named Trump yet, have they? But I think they will.
But I think the important thing about Smartmatic is that it is pushing back on disinformation and the media that are perpetuating that disinformation are getting a message. It's a $2.7 billion lawsuit. That's only the annual profit of Fox News. But that would be an amount that would actually make them take note.
Yeah.
Since that lawsuit, Lou Dobbs was fired. I can't say that it was a direct relationship between the two, but it could really change how things are. And if I can just add to what Kimberly just said, because she's 100% right, but I think it shows two things. One is that the Office of Legal Counsel opinion about indicting a president needs to be reevaluated because when you get a president who is a criminal like Richard Nixon or like Donald Trump, you need to be able to take action against that person. Yeah. And the other thing is the norms that we have always lived by and we've always assumed would be abided by, like complying with the law at a very low basic level, hasn't been true in this administration. And so some of those norms need to be enacted into laws so that you could be charged with a crime and or a civil offense for violating
speaking
them.
Speaking of Watergate, it just recurs to me, I think you've said this elsewhere, but it's almost the opposite where you gave the roadmap to Congress, right, for impeachment with Nixon. And this is like, they've almost left the roadmap for criminal prosecution for Donald Trump since Republicans abdicated their duty in the Senate, right?
Well, it's even more than that. I mean, Mitch McConnell voted to acquit, and minutes later, I think I must be hearing someone else speaking. It can't possibly be him saying he is guilty, it's proved beyond a reasonable doubt, he incited this riot, he caused this death and harm, but there's another way to handle it, criminal and civil litigation. So he did a reverse Watergate roadmap.
Yeah.
Information so that the House could impeach, and he gave prosecutors and civil litigants the go-ahead to take this action in order to Thank hold you. Accountable someone who needs to be held accountable.
And we should follow Bob Mueller's advice to prosecute on the 10 counts of obstruction of justice from the Mueller report. It cannot stand for precedent. Joyce Vance, that appears to be large enough to cover your entire chicken coop, whatever it is you've just knitted during this podcast. I saw you pick it up. What is it exactly?
It's what's called a Fair Isle sweater, Stephanie. Okay. And it's large.
Oh, thank you. Okay, thank you for that. Now, listen, you also pointed out on Twitter about, you know, the DOJ indictments based on facts and evidence put a lie to Senator, Johnson's, you know, whatever you want to call it, disinformation. But this is why Brendan Boyle said to us today, we need a criminal investigation with subpoena power because this political nonsense is just antithetical to the rule of law, isn't it? What Republicans are trying to do.
So when people in Congress speak on the floor of the Senate or the floor of the House, they're not liable for their words. They have sort of a speech and debate privilege. When federal prosecutors, though, file pleadings with courts, when they bring indictments, they're responsible for their words. And those facts and that evidence is submitted under oath. And as Barb pointed out earlier, lawyers have a duty of candor to the court, and they can be sanctioned. They can lose their license to practice law if they violate it in a serious enough fashion. So this sort of goes back, I think Jill was making this point, or maybe Barb, that we have an obligation as bystanders to be purveyors of the truth. DOJ, we should have confidence in when lawyers say things under oath at risk to their future livelihood. You can be sure that they're speaking the truth as compared to some senators who just continue to spew the big lie. And certainly the Republican Party and the country had issues before Trump became president. He wasn't the start of it. But something that he seems to have imbued these folks with is an absolute shameless ability to blow past the truth and to tell lies when they think that they're better served that way. And we are going to struggle as a country for the next few years with the issue of how do we deal with that. The Smartmatic lawsuits will help, but it's going to be up to each of us.
Yeah. I mean, Jill, you said this. Ted Lieu said Republican leaders can reduce the risk of further political violence by saying one simple, truthful sentence: the election was not stolen. And you said this is important. This is the, I mean, you're right, just having one common set of facts. This is what you guys do every day. You put forward a set of facts and then the jury decides. But we don't even have, you know, Barb, a common set of facts anymore because we have a right-wing media empire and Republicans that are intent on continuing to put out lies, right?
Yeah, you know, one of the most damaging moments I thought in recent years was when Corey Lewandowski testified. I think it was at the first impeachment trial. I can't remember. It's hard to keep track of all of these things now. But one of the things he said was, you know, he was shown making a false statement on Fox News or wherever it was. And he said, it's not a crime to lie in the media. And he shrugged it off as if, of course I lie to the media. I think that is just so harmful. The idea that people are willing to blatantly lie in the media. But I think where, the rubber meets the road is when these cases got to court. Yeah. We saw, you know, virtually every court that decided election fraud said, show me the evidence. And there was none. And so courts, I think, may be our last bastion of truth and facts. And God bless them. You know, if people are willing to lie to the media and in their public statements, then perhaps it is these defamation suits that will it finally hold some of these liars accountable.
Yeah. Kimberly, I appreciate you letting me use all these women to get to you. I've been wanting to meet you for years. And I pretended to care about Joyce White's chickens. But my point is, you cannot avoid the racial component of all of this, right? I mean, Malcolm Nance was just on and said, you know, let's cut through all this bullshit about capitals. They did not treat them the same because they were white Trump supporters. That's what happened at the Capitol. I mean, you tweeted about we're at the most critical point in voting rights since 1965. And you talk about, you know, we watched someone who was jaywalking a black individual that just got shot to death by the police. Your tweets were so personal. You said as black runners, we have to have eyes in the back of our heads. We have to think about the shoes we wear, the times we run, the colors we choose, where we run. Now, during a pandemic, wearing a mask or a hoodie running at 6 a.m. can be problematic. It took me a couple of months and many sessions with a therapist before I could run outdoors again after Arbery was murdered. It's hard to I mean, whether it's the Capitol riots or anything else, it's hard to take this out of that lens, the racial element, isn't it?
I mean, that's the lens that it's the umbrella that covers all of this. I mean, we have to be reminded that the insurrection was literally an effort to stop votes of Black and Brown folks in places like Atlanta and Detroit, my hometown, and Milwaukee from being counted. This was the anniversary of Ahmaud Arbery's death. And it's true. I really had to go to therapy before I could run in my mostly white neighborhood again. And it's a place where I felt safe, but all it takes is one person not knowing who I was to call the cops.
Yeah.
And then the same fate could happen. Voting rights is incredibly important right now. We talked about that, but all of this stems from the fact that the Supreme Court gutted a part of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 that made it much harder for the Department of Justice to police when people impose some of these awful voting laws. At the time, I lived in Virginia at the time that decision came down. And by the next election, we had voter ID laws. We had people who were, you know, I had, when I went to vote in the next election, someone was questioning someone asking them where they were from, one of the election workers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so it's just so deeply ingrained. It's the original sin of this country, the way that it has treated people of different races. And it still continues to rear its head in so many ways.
And Barb, before we go, you know, I loved how Merrick Garland drew not just a straight line from Timothy McVeigh, and which he prosecuted. But, you know, as we saw in the impeachment, it goes through Michigan, it goes through your state, it goes through the militias that were going to kidnap and execute Governor Whitmer and these, you know, groups that they've been warning for years, these right wing white supremacist groups that are violent. And thank God we're finally going to prioritize that.
Yes. And I thought the other thing that was really powerful about Merrick Garland's opening statement is he drew a line not only from the Capitol back to 1995 and Timothy McVeigh, but all the way back to the Ku Klux Klan, and noted that the whole reason the Department of Justice was created was to counter the violence that we saw in the South during Reconstruction. And so it was a real history lesson, I think, for people to understand that arc of history. It has always been our original sin in trying to be the kind of multicultural country that we pretend to be. And I think that Merrick Garland sees his mission as using the Department of Justice to get us closer toward that more perfect union that we aspire to be.
Joyce White Vance, my mother started knitting a sweater for me when I was 5, and it still was not done by the time I went to college. And so I want to tell you, I'm very impressed with the work you've done this morning. And I love all of you. I want to come play with your chickens. Kimberly, I'm a runner. I want to come run with you. Jill, I want to bring my giant dogs to play with your giant dogs. Barb, I'm a lesbian, so I also wanted to be shortstop for the Detroit Tigers. So there may be some competition, but I want to come play softball with you. You're all so fantastic. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing Sisters in Law, and for just being a voice out there for all of us, for justice and to understand the law. You're just could not be more fabulous.
Thanks for having us, Stephanie. Thank much
you
appreciated.
So much, thank Steph. You.
Hashtag Sisters in Law. Get it. Happy, happy hour, everybody. Oh, happy hour. See, we can have nice things. And we are going to have nice things again post-COVID. But we just got to keep our head in the game, man. We got to go to thenewdealshop.com. Get all the tools you need. Hey, Travis, Avenger nerd or whatever other superhero nerd you are. They all have tools, right? I know Wonder Woman has a golden lasso. I'm a lesbian, so I'm focused on Wonder Woman. But my point is, they all have something. And I'm just saying, why would you deal with COVID without UV light when you know that's the science they use in hospitals to disinfect masks? We have the Clean Phone, the Clean Phone Pro. Clean Phone Wand. Mm-hmm. You zap everything you have, your phone, your mask, your all of your stuff, your packages, your groceries, with that UV light, the Clean Phone Wand portable. Take it with you. Masks, more than ever, whether you're double masking or not, get the KN95s, right, with the anti-fraud labeling, the FDA authorized sticker. We have them. They're in stock. They ship in the US of A immediately and for free to your home or business. We got the blue disposables if you like to double mask and then do a fashion one on the outside, which I sometimes do. We have lavender aloe hand sanitizer. I don't know why I'm talking like this, but they have all of the tools in your superhero fight against COVID. TheNewDealShop.com. Do it now for you and your beloveds. TheNewDealShop.com.